Hello and welcome to Science Faction 561. Science Faction, breathe through your ass.
That's the dream, isn't it? Like, that's the, you know, picket fence, two-car garage, breathing out your ass.
The American dream, chicken in every pot and oxygen in every anus.
Yeah, I'd like to think that, like, there's, like, some action hero who, like, that's, like, one of his abilities. Like, maybe he has, like, he's a good fighter, you know, but, like, he can also breathe out of his ass. And it saves him. It's an ability he has that nobody knows until one time an enemy tries to drown him. Like, yes. He holds his head underwater.
If they try and give him a swirly in the men's room, then while they're all laughing because they think he can't breathe because his face is in the toilet, little do they know he is breathing very comfortably through his ass.
Yeah, oh, you're wasting all this energy holding him down. He's just resting up, enjoying the swirly.
Oh, dear. And for those of you guys getting this a little late, sorry the episode is late. We had intended to tape on our regular time, but I had my first field survey since COVID, and it went a little bit long, and I got stuck well far away from San Diego, unfortunately. So that's
and field survey. Bobby's yes. actually competing in the
Olympics. It was the discus. Yeah.
Yes. He didn't do well. He's not coming back. Don't worry, guys. He's here to stay.
What's funny is I've been doing a lot of like office archaeology work, which is the lame shit, a lot of paper push and that kind of stuff. And then on the weekends, I've been doing a different archaeology job for a long-term management plan where I go out and check on a couple hundred sites that I found a long time ago and make sure that they're not getting destroyed. And so I am doing like field work, but I haven't been doing a lot of like pedestrian field survey, which is like my bread and butter. That's like my archaeology cum shot right there.
I've been doing field work too. I've actually had a goal to destroy exactly 100 archaeology sites.
Oh, interesting.
It was based off some map I found in your house.
God damn it. Ah!
And let me just say, detective, you're arriving at the crime scene in some cases years late.
So I've been doing some field work, but I haven't had a chance to do pedestrian survey in a while, and I finally got the chance to go do it again. But here's the thing. The unfortunate thing happened that 2 weeks ago, my son started school again. He's like back into preschool. And while he didn't get COVID, he did bring home two separate respiratory viruses within being in school for 3 days. So he goes 2 days a week. First day.
You got tuberculosis. Bam. Day one.
He comes back with this thing that ended up giving him a high fever. And then my wife and I caught it and we got high fevers and like the whole nine yards. And then the second, he goes to the next day. Blah,
that's
blah.
How I solve a fever too, Bobby. That's how I solve a fever too.
We didn't even know until after his second day of school, after which he had a long break. And then he starts his next week. He goes his third. He comes back with a fucking separate thing. He gets us both sick. We had to get like 5 COVID tests between all of us, the whole 9 yards. And I'm at the worst of it as I'm going to do this couple mile field transect survey with like a new boss I'm trying to impress and stuff. And I am like a walking zombie out there. It was fucking insane. But that ended up going late. So we couldn't record. So my apologies to the fans who didn't get their normal Tuesday show.
Yeah, Bobby was too busy infecting others at his work site.
No.
Bobby was busy being a Typhoid Mary for whatever disease his son had.
Thankfully, I'm very much anti getting anyone sick at this point. Thankfully, one, through some Dayquil, I didn't have to cough or sneeze. Two, I kept an KN95 respirator on the entire time. And three,
on your anus too, because you can breathe through there.
And three, because it is field survey, you are doing transects. You are, by definition, 15 meters apart from one another. So it wasn't necessarily an infection risk at that point. But
except for the group tick check at the end, you know, where you have to, like, you know, bend the guy over and see if any ticks bit their taint or deep in their sexy butts.
Yeah, you've been going to the wrong archaeology field schools.
Or the right ones.
Yeah, like I used to pride myself, a good field survey person prides themselves on their ability to get through a barbed wire fence because you go through so many barbed wire fences that you just, like, the goal is to almost not break stride. Like, you have to be good enough doing it that, you know, you barely break a stride going through a barbed wire fence. And we had to go through a couple dozen barbed wire fences and ended up getting nicked by barbed wire, which I don't think probably hasn't happened to me in, like, 10 years. So, that's how bad I was.
What would the disadvantages be to just cutting it with your archaeologist katana, which you have?
I do always carry a nice field knife. They are fences that are there for a reason, and they're not yours to cut, and it's private property.
Okay, well, you're trespassing. Like,
no,
off.
I'm not.
Like,
we have a light. We're there to do work. The owner knows we're there, but he does, like, you can't just start destroying. It's like you couldn't just start throwing rocks at it through the windows of the guy's houses or something.
Then why become a state archaeologist to wield all that power? Why? What are you doing with that power, Bobby?
Oh, dear. Let's get right on to science articles.
I would wield the title of state archaeologist with an iron fist.
Article number one, breathing through your rectum.
I hardly knew him.
You got to say rectum. I hardly knew him. Otherwise, nobody gets the joke, David.
Breathing? I hardly knew him. Oh, fuck. God damn it.
Well, whatever. I checked that guy's balls for ticks. I don't know. Whatever.
Bobby, I'm fist deep in this guy's balls. Come on.
So a really interesting paper came out about the surprising discovery of the ability of mammals to breathe through their rectum. This was a big deal. It made it a bunch of the popular news sites and stuff because obviously it's a great headline. Let's look at what the paper actually says and what the experiment actually was.
Was this because like they were wondering like, you know, like, hey, you know, we can't keep shooting all these monkeys to kill them. We just got to drown them. It's a lab tech, you know, you just pay them a little extra, you know.
Sure.
And they're wondering, like, why is it taking so long to drown these monkeys? It should be taking, you know, we joked about it earlier, but that ass above water, you know, maybe, you know, it can't obviously support life.
Yeah, well, that's a reasonable assumption to think.
Really? That's a rare gift from you.
You know, it's funny as I've thought about this before. We used to have a co-host, a science co-host, Jackie, who did a lot of work with mice and had to paralyze and sometimes kill mice and stuff. And I always thought, like, what a sad thing that we force all these lab nerds to do this, when in fact, there's a lot of budding sociopaths and psychopaths who would be so happy to be able to just kill things on demand and, like, it wouldn't traumatize them the way it would for those lab techs. So, like, let's meet these two different groups. It was like my idea for young-looking midgets and pedophiles and getting them together.
I think you're misunderstanding the fetish. The DSM fucking diagnosed condition about child fucking versus little person. Because, like, I don't know. Like, I've never saw Wee Man. It was like, get hit in the nuts on Jackass. And was like, oh my God, that 13-year-old boy was just hit in the nuts. Which would also be hilarious, by the way.
It would be a certain demographic of little people, which I should use, by the way. Sorry, I used what is considered a bad term. I'll use the term little people.
Wee Man.
Yes,
that's right.
Super.
Like, you're not supposed to use his name.
Super horny little people and pedophiles. So this is a quote from Science Daily about this particular experiment. First, they designed an intestinal gas ventilation system to administer pure oxygen through the rectum of mice. They showed that without the system, no mice survived 11 minutes of extremely low oxygen conditions. Again, by the way, side note, another great thing for the sadist / psychopath to be doing. He's the one who just pumps all the air out of the box with the mice.
But isn't the other part of that is that somebody's pumping oxygen into an anus?
Well, not yet. Hold on. We haven't gotten to that part yet.
Oh, this is my imagination.
They've just showed that if they took the air out of the box, within 11 minutes, all the mice died. Then with intestinal gas ventilation, which is the oxygen going into the mouse ass, more oxygen reached their heart and 75% of the mice survive 50 minutes of normally lethally low oxygen conditions. This is a dramatic result. This isn't like, oh, we saw a 5% difference. This is without the stuff, 11 minutes, they're all dead. With ass gas, 50 minutes, 75% of them are still alive. That is fucking impressive.
We've talked about anus a lot, and I haven't jumped in. And you might be wondering why. Because I'm distracted because I really think you had a good idea earlier. And we kind of
About the little people and the horny little people?
No, God damn it. No, not that one. That took us off the good idea train for me having to explain to you.
Okay.
Your horny little people genius fetish I'm looking up right now. I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted again. Yeah, it was about your idea of hiring psychopaths to kill and torture mice. No, I think, if anything, you put this in Craigslist and you use this as a way to flag psychopaths.
I see. We have a job who likes to torture mice, and then you wait for them to step forward, and those are the people that you then put a watch on.
Now, Bobby, I need you to design a job interview that only a fucking psychopath would agree to. Would say, like, you know what? Sign me up.
It's a lot of Kenny G playing in the background, and the major's going, so do you like this song?
Now, would you say, would you make the pay rate high or low? You got to love what you do.
Yeah, I'd make it high enough to be worthwhile, but not so high as to entice normal people to pretend to be psychopaths to get the job.
But at the same time, if you want to weed out that executive level psychopath,
I mean, true.
You got to offer something that, or you got to have some sort of investment package that's really going to entice. Equity. Can you get equity in the firm?
Now, here's the deal. They were just shoving this thing up the mice ass and then taking the oxygen out, and these things were surviving at crazy rates. However, they didn't just have to shove this thing up their ass. They also had to...
They didn't have to at all. They didn't have to at all.
They also had to abrade the intestinal mucus
of the
inside part of the mouse. And so it's not likely to be something that we would use as a treatment for humans. So they went a step further and they said, well, how can we turn this up to 11 and make this more usable? So they developed a liquid ventilation system where they basically made a oxygen-rich liquid that they could then put into the rectum of, in this case, they used pigs and rodents, and they brought them down to non-lethal but very low oxygen conditions. And the mice getting the intestinal ventilation, this time the liquid one, could walk farther in a 10% oxygen chamber and more oxygen reached their heart compared to the mice that did not receive it. They had similar results with the pigs. So basically they found a way to go, okay, listen, we could shove oxygen up these things' ass, but we have to kind of like rough it up a little bit to make it work. So instead, if we use this liquid stuff, it seems like we do
it. He's a Philadelphia boxer who's like willing to train on this pig for a little bit. We don't need it too much. Just work the guts. Give it some body work.
Yeah. Now, like, you might be asking, how does this work? Well, apparently, much like how you get wasted through your rectum, you can also breathe through it, too. Somehow the mucosal tissue in there is absorbing oxygen from the air and getting it into the blood system, which is super interesting.
It is.
Something we probably would not have imagined to be the case. And we have seen things like this in certain like aquatic animals, certain fish and stuff, but never would you think this would be the case in a mammal.
have you seen The Abyss, right? The old sci-fi movie from the
90s? No, I have not actually.
Okay, you're not wasting a lot of time. It wasn't great. Like, it was a sci-fi movie that happened in the 90s, but basically it was this deep underwater thing, and in it, they had this oxygen-rich fluid that was based off of, I think, like amniotic sac fluid.
Okay.
That you would pump into somebody's lungs, and it would allow these divers to be more effective at their job. You know, they were less at risk of drowning, et cetera, et cetera. The reason I bring this up is because if you gave me the choice of pumping this fluid, like basically simulating drowning in this amniotic fluid versus just doing the tampon, sign me up for the anus, baby. And here's the thing.
First of all, that's practically your motto, so you can't say that that's anything new. Sign me up for the anus. It says a tattoo you've had for years.
If there's a fan who's willing to translate that into Latin, I will get that as a tattoo.
By the way, I do like how the implications of this are that an enema is kind of like waterboarding.
It's so much better.
Here's the question. Could this work in humans? And if so, how? And the answer is, right now, possibly. Like, it's possible. We haven't done the test, but it worked in these, you know, pretty disparate mammals. It is possible, which will make for some very tenuous scuba rental equipment. But actually, it is it's thought that this would be developed not for just like some bizarre science nothing, but for actual medical treatments. Specifically, think of the pandemic that's ravaging the world right now. There's a lot of people because of COVID who are dying because they have impaired lung function. It's not the type of impaired lung function that we can fix in ways that we can for, let's say you have asthma and we can expand your bronchial tubes. This is the actual, like basically the little holes in your lungs getting clotted up and you're not able to get oxygen through your lungs. So if we had a way to oxygenate people's bodies through something other than their lungs, i.e. their rectum, that could actually save a lot of lives during the COVID pandemic and subsequent respiratory pandemics that are undoubtedly going to come by.
Rectum damn near saved them.
Very, very interesting. I just love a weird ass study with an interesting new finding, especially when it's about the butt.
Dude, yeah. And I love anything about the butt. So like, this was a win-win. Thank you. This could have been an archaeology article, but it wasn't.
count me in for the anus. All right, article number two, turning plastic trash into jet fuel.
So they found a way to turn our entire back catalog of episodes into some sort of jet fuel? Like,
no, Damien, it's all digital. That has never actually been in physical form.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering, is this like some sort of like the secret, like, we dream of our bad episodes being able to be productive, and so they are in some way, like, and they just...
No, no. The only productive aspect to all those episodes is the amount of extra money Google made from Gmail servers having to send literally millions of emails per week about your performance in iCallBS.
It's weird, because now that we've gone to like a Patreon model, iCallBS, so like any new fans
their business has dropped off dramatically. I don't know if you've been following Google stock prices. Plummeting.
All right. By the way, to our fans who might be listening, we play a game called iCallBS, where Bobby basically creates a Saw-like torture room via podcast form.
Interesting way to say simple scientific quiz that every scientist who's ever come on here has found very easy, and then everybody else seems to do just fine on, that Damien continues to refuse to participate in, which you can listen to free on older episodes, or if you want to hear us do it every week now, you can go and join our Patreon at Robert Timothy.
I implore every one of you, please join our Patreon and call for help. Listen, just get a recording. Get it to the police. I'm too poor. Bobby doesn't pay me for these torture sessions. In fact, all of my money goes towards medical bills and burn salve. Please, just call the police. I can't afford the Patreon myself. I just need a recording.
I didn't want to bring this up because you know I always try and boost your self-esteem, but there have actually been numerous complaints to the police already by fans who are pretty sure you're doing something illegal by continuing this ruse.
Who are these people? Is this a list of your pseudonyms, or is it you doing the same voice?
No, not at all. Look, this is one's from Timothy Robert. This I have no relation to this person whatsoever.
This is Rebute Bobberthy. Completely different guy.
Oh dear. So we have a lot of trash plastics in our environment. Trash plastics are things that we get from things like plastic bags and milk jugs, and they're very rarely recycled. Even if you do recycle them, you put them in that blue bin, they are almost never recycled. There's a bunch of interesting like datelines and stuff on this. They basically either go to a landfill, which is most of them. They used to go to China, but Trump pissed them off a while ago, so they started to refuse accepting our recycling. So they don't take our recycling anymore. There's a few places in the U.S. that does plastic recycling, usually only for very, very specific plastics, which have to be super well cleaned, by the way. But very rarely, most of it goes into a landfill, or it's recycling, quote unquote, is that they burn it and they use it for fuel as like literally a burning fuel.
Yeah, we use it to heat schools. Yeah, the fumes are kind of a problem, but, we don't do this in rich neighborhoods. Let me put it that way.
Well, actually, if you think about it, you know, it's hard to get good teachers. So, you know, the dumber the kids, the dumber the teachers we can hire to get them. And so cost cutting in both directions, if you ask me.
Yeah, listen, you know, I mean, maybe a janitor could be a teacher. And if we keep these fumes going, then maybe my professor emeritus at this high school title will be less of a lie and more real. I got a field promotion, a field grade promotion to teacher on the spot.
Now, there are some catalytic processes that we can do to recycle plastics in a effective way. We can also recycle them in a somewhat ineffective way, which is literally just melting them down and melting them into new things. However, that is a suboptimal form of plastic that's not useful for very many things, not very strong, doesn't have the usual things we would need. And so,
terrible condoms. Terrible.
Yes.
Painful.
Yes. Worse gummy bears. So that type of process is really only for very specific things. It's not used very often. The way to actually recycle plastics, the way that's done in mass in places like China, you need this catalytic process, but it requires very high heat. And so because of that, there's a big energy loss. And so it becomes kind of a net zero, so to speak. You're wasting so much energy doing this. So that is the plastic situation now. That is why when you walk down the street, you are likely to see plastic bags, plastic bottles, plastic trash debris. But when was the last time you walked through like a bad area, like a littered area, and you saw
a plastic library?
When did you see a lot of like aluminum cans? Never. Why? Because that's fucking cash, and homeless people will grab that up, or not even homeless people, just people who need money, will go pick up those aluminum cans and take them to the recycler.
Not just homeless people, people on the verge of being homeless.
That's true. And young kids who want to get a baseball for summer because that fucking dog ate it.
Are you kidding? If I'm a parent, I don't want my kid out there fishing for cans around homeless people. I'll just buy the goddamn baseball.
I'll just buy you a bunch of cans to go turn in.
Just go do some fucking chores. I'll pay for that. Go beat up the homeless guys raiding the trash cans in our backyard. That's our property. I could do it, but I'm willing to pay you.
Since plastic doesn't have that much value, it doesn't get collected. It doesn't get recycled. However, here is an interesting thing. So a new paper just came out that found a new process, new catalytic process, that's able to recycle our typical grade one plastics, which is basically all that trash plastic, at fairly low temperatures, about 420 degrees. Incredibly low, because the previous temperatures, I think, are up at like 1,000 degrees. That's Fahrenheit, by the way. And so this process might actually make plastic recycling a very feasible and profitable thing. Now, this isn't recycling this plastic into more plastics. This process actually turns that plastic, that trash plastic, into fuels, into hydrocarbons, specifically jet fuels. The other thing to think about when we're talking about all this stuff is what a load jet fuel is on our society in general. We've talked a few times about how one cross-country flight is basically your carbon equivalent of living for like 6 months. Driving your car, turning the lights, getting your food, getting everything. It is incredibly costly. It is incredible amount of carbon just to fly in an airplane. So what if we could start making fuel from spent trash plastic? Well, you would still be releasing hydrocarbons and you would still be releasing CO2 into the atmosphere. That doesn't go away because that stuff would otherwise be kind of kept up in those plastic bottles unless they were being burned, in which case it's kind of an exchange. But if they were just sitting on the side, they take a long time to biodegrade. It is still releasing some amount of carbon. However, think of what you don't have to do. You don't have to pump more oil out of the ground. You don't have to ship that oil from someplace to a refinery. You don't have to refine that oil into jet fuel. You don't have to then ship that jet fuel to an airport to then get put in something like this. If you just were able to make jet fuel from trash plastic, not only would the jet fuel itself become cheaper and you would take out some of the carbon, because again, the stuff that would get burned would not get burned, or it would get burned up and used for the plane. But on top of that, you lose the carbon footprint that it takes to get that jet fuel from however many hundreds of feet under the ground in Saudi Arabia into a plane at JFK. Right. And so in doing this, you are taking some amount of the CO2 out of there. But also, and here's my point, trash plastic is like a big deal. It gets into the water, fucking turtles eat it. It's horrible for the environment. It just looks bad. And unlike a lot of other trash, it takes a long time to degrade. And so it looks bad and accumulates for a very, very long time. We've talked about microplastics getting in to the food chain and making their way up and all that kind of stuff. So even more than the CO2 decrease on this, which wouldn't be gigantic for the reasons we talked about, the thing that makes this really interesting to me is, think how much cleaner your streets would be. The same way you don't go down the street and see a whole bunch of aluminum cans because they're valuable. Well, if we had a process like this working at every single, and let's say you put the thing at the airport, and that way, you know, you don't even have to pay to ship the plastic there. You just get a bunch of homeless people pushing shopping carts in a never-ending stream down to the local airport, and they make their own jet fuel there.
I think people will tell tale of Dirty Bay Street Jim, who became the first truly self-made billionaire when, after this process was refined, he was the first homeless man brave enough and crazy enough to paddle his way out to the Texas-sized plastic trash island in the Pacific.
Oh, yeah, and he hauled it all in, turned it into the airport for a profit.
He's just under Warren Buffett as the world's richest man. And that's the thing. He's so rich, he can't give it away no matter what batshit crazy stuff he does. And He does a lot of batshit crazy stuff.
Yeah, he bought a 55-gallon metal drum for every home in America to be able to burn stuff to keep warm.
There are public service announcements on every major network about how flat the earth is every day on school nights. He owns Bolivia.
It wasn't even that expensive. All right. Thank you guys for joining us for Science Faction 561, where you learned all about breathing through your ass and how the future of recycled plastics might also be the future of jet fuel. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 562.
Hey, it's me, Crazy Bay Street Jim, the newest shark on Shark Tank and self-made billionaire. You have something to get shit out of pants?